This is Aliska van't Voort for From the Frontline. In the studio with us is Dr. Hammond, and today we are dealing with creative evangelism in streets, shops, and suburbs. Dr. Hammond, how can we be more creative and effective in evangelism?
Actually, there are so many great ways. Of course, learning from scripture, learning from church history, learning from friends and colleagues these days. So just for example, last week, Monday, the 9th of August, was National Women's Day. And so for the last 26 years, every National Women's Day, we've mobilized people onto the streets and into shopping malls to be involved in evangelism. And so this is just an example of how you can be creative. In fact, there's a lot of creativity in this last year. It started 26 years ago with, well, the government was getting rid of our Christian holidays like Ascension Day, and replacing it with Youth Day, Women's Day, Freedom Day, Human Rights Day, all very humanistic. And so we thought we've got to get back to our Christian calendar of Ascension Day, the authority of Christ and the Great Commission, and Reformation Day, and drawing people's attention to the importance of a Christian calendar, the incarnation in Christmas, the atonement in Good Friday, Resurrection of the body and Resurrection Sunday. Ascension Day, of course, is in many ways so important because it's the last command of Christ, the Great Commission, the authority of Christ, the promise of his return. And so in all these matters, we thought, well, if they're going to give us pagan secular humanist holidays, let's use them for evangelism. So on Human Rights Day, we'd do life chains, pro-life activities, point out, well, they talk about human rights and yet they are involved in taking away the life of preborn babies and so on. And when they spoke about Women's Day, we thought, well, that's rich, coming from a government that just legalized pornography and prostitution effectively, and which is denigrating bringing women down and increasing taxation to force mothers out of the home to have to work to pay more taxes while their children are put in daycare. How pro-woman is this? So we thought, let's start campaigns to campaign against pornography and against human trafficking, which are two very obvious ones, against a government that gives us meaningless public holiday. And so one of our protests, we actually went outside Parliament on the first Women's Day, put a table out there, rigged up a gallows, and had a mock trial of a rapist pointing out that women don't need meaningless public holidays and pious hypocritical platitudes from politicians. What they need is respect and protection. Ban pornography, execute rapists. That was the message. And it was actually raining when it happened, and I had to have saran wrap plastic covering around the big Bible that I was carrying. I was wearing academic robes, sort of symbolize a judge. And we still went ahead in the rain, and it got quite a lot of good media publicity, photographs and all this in the media, and a message got out. Well, now we get in the shopping centers, and so we put up a table display as a charity, a non-profit public benefit organization, and so we negotiate free tables, and because it's National Women's Day, we've had no problem over the last 26 years finding shopping malls willing. It's over the years, some shopping malls have got very resistant, but there's a lot of shopping malls. So where you get a no one place, you get yes is another place. So this time we went 7 shopping malls, and we didn't have enough people, to be honest. So because we had 12 outreaches, if you count it all together. But we put up a display, we have a literature table, and we would distribute literature. And for many years, we distribute balloons with pro-family messages on it, like a woman who serves the Lord should be praised, and a family that prays together stays together. The best book to read is the Bible, and the greatest book ever written is the Bible. And if the sun sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And we put scriptures on and different pro-life, pro-family messages, anti-pornography messages on. And in a creative way, we distribute thousands of balloons with these messages, with scriptures on them, which would be wafting through all these different shopping malls. And children are always happy to receive balloons. And you'd even have Muslims queuing up with their burqas to get the balloons. And while we're giving balloons to the children, we're giving gospel literature to the adults. And in some malls, they've over the years developed a bit of a resistance to having straight evangelism like that. So in some places, they'll say, no, you're not allowed to give out gospel booklets, but we can't give out anti-trafficking leaflets. Well, good. That's fine. I mean, Christianity's been the forefront of fighting slavery. And so there's a lot to say about the Christian liberation of women and about stop trafficking and what William Wilberforce did and the slavery today and how Jesus came to set the captives free. And so we will have that, but we will also be offering surveys that if a person's interested, we'll offer free New Testament or free DVD with a gospel message on it to people who want to complete a spiritual well-being survey. Sometimes we've got law and justice surveys and different things designed for different communities, but it'll take you through questions which are essentially the way of the master questions that go to the conscience. Who do you think God is? How would you describe God? What are the Ten Commandments? How many of them can you remember? Well, have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever lied about anything? Have you ever hated someone? Well, Jesus said if you hate someone, it's like committing murder in your heart. Have you ever looked with lust? Well, that's like committing adultery in your heart, Jesus said. And so we take people through the Ten Commandments because the Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And the law of God is the schoolmaster that leads us to Christ, that we can be justified by faith. And sometimes we find shopping malls that are more restrictive and say, you can't go and hand out leaflets to people. They've got to come to your table. Okay, how do we attract them to our table? Well, if you've got balloons, it attracts children. If you've got flowers to offer to the passing woman and we get people sponsoring flowers, well, that attracts people to your literature table. We've even had chocolates and fudge out there in nice wrappers so that they're all hygienic and so on, and individually wrapped, and invite people to come and receive some free fudge for Women's Day and complete a survey, and we have discussions. And so there's ways of attracting people to your table. We have pull-up banners. We have different things to attract people. The more attractively you put your table, the more likely people come to it. But some shopping malls let you approach people and to engage more actively. So we've got to be creative. But there's always ways to set up a display and whatever it is, like Youth Day, we've done special things for Youth Day. But on this Women's Day, we had some other creative ideas. At Stellenbosch University, a group put together a kind of cage for sale place where a person stood in with a for sale sign above to demonstrate against the prevalence of human slavery. And most people aren't aware that there's over 40 million slaves in the world today, which is more slaves than there were when William Wilberforce brought an end to it by legislation 1807. And most people aren't aware of that.
Yes.
There's even slaves in South Africa. There's even human trafficking in Cape Town. So to dramatize this, we had different creative ways. But when you've got good resources and you've got a good team and the people are trained in how to engage in good conversations, it actually is quite exciting because we get into the marketplace. And as the Bible says, that wisdom cries aloud at the gateways of the city and where the paths meet. And so in the marketplace, at the gates of the city, at the shopping centers, these are the gates and the pathways and the marketplace of today.
Yeah, and it's such wonderful opportunities to go out there. How would one who is wanting to do this outreach in the mall, where do you start? If you know the commandments from the scripture, you think this is a great idea, where do you start?
Well, of course, we all need training in evangelism because what's the main reason people don't evangelize? Well, either they don't know how to or they're afraid. But of course, the better you know your subject, the better you know the tools and techniques of evangelism and the better equipment you've got, meaning good literature or good gospel tracts or audio materials and other resources like for children evangelism. And Way of the Master produced some very interesting conversations starting, very high quality. You can hardly call them tracks, but they're so brilliant, like the world's best optical illusions to show people how your eyes can deceive you, and the funniest one-liners, and a whole lot of intriguing things that really get like the Ten Commandments coins. And so when you've got good tools, it gives you more confidence. And when you've got good training, it overcomes your fear. So in my life, I found Evangelism Explosion was the best evangelistic training program I ever did. Absolutely outstanding. EE3, absolutely great. And central to EE is the diagnostic questions that you can go up to people and say, may I ask you a question? In fact, they sometimes give you the little button with the two question marks on. The person might even ask you, what are those two question marks for? Yeah. Glad you asked me. May I ask you two questions? And the first question is, if you were to die today, do you know for sure whether you'd go to heaven or not? Or what do you think happens to a person when they die? You know, you get them into eternity. And the kind of answer person gives, well, what can they say? They can say yes, they can say no, or they can say, I don't know. Mm. And this gives you an idea of whether they think they're Christians or whether they definitely are not or whether they're unsure. Mm. But now the second question is the most important diagnostically. If God was to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? Mm. What would you answer? And now you start to get people answering things like, because I'm a good person, because I was baptized, because I was confirmed, because I went forward at a rally, because my sister's a nun, because I've done good works. And so you get all kinds of different answers that indicate that people are either trusting in themselves or their works or in their religion, or are they trusting in Christ alone? Do they recognize that they are depraved, wicked sinners, well-deserving in eternity in hell, and they've only been saved by the grace of God alone through Christ's blood shed on the cross? Or are they trusting in some version of man-made religion or their works or their own goodness? Now, this is where Way of the Master comes in, because while Evangelism Explosion is a phenomenal evangelistic training program, Way of the Master has come in to particularly help people who are so hardened and secularized that they no longer are responsive to the average gospel message. And so Way of the Master goes for the conscience, and it does this by working through the Ten Commandments. So you can ask a person if they can name 10 beers, and it's amazing how many people can name 10 beers. You can ask them about sports. You can ask them about anything to do with music and the Olympics and rugby and soccer and TV and soap operas, and the people can come out with vast amounts and who won Academy Awards. And then you start asking about 10 commands, and you get this blank expression and then a person might come up with maybe two. But most of them get the don't murder and don't steal. Don't lie. Mm. And so then you can say, well, may I ask you a question? Would you consider yourself to be a good person? And most people would say yes, or yes, I'm a good person, or yes, I'm a very good person. Mm. You get an amazing amount of people say, I'm a very good person. Mm-hmm. And then you could say, well, may I ask you some questions to see if that's true? And most people want to self-justify, and we're quite proud of our achievements. So certainly most people say yes. And then you can say, how many of the Ten Commandments can you remember? And then, have you ever told a lie? Mm. Most people have to admit yes. Mm. And you say, have you ever stolen anything? Some people say, no. You say, well, you just admitted that you've lied. Okay, once, when I was very small, just something very small, longer. Mm. Well, isn't that another lie? Okay, yeah, well. Yeah. Mm. Have you ever borrowed something and failed to return it? Have you ever broken something and failed to repair it? I mean, that's also stealing. Have you used the phone at your work without permission? Have you run up phone bills on someone else's account? Mm. There's so many ways in which we can say, have you ever downloaded something illegally off the internet? Mm. And that gets most of the youngsters today. You know, when a person says, no, I've never stolen. So you've never downloaded any music or films off the internet without paying for it. Okay, well, you got me there. And so, interestingly, when you ask people things like, have you ever killed someone, you get this great sense of relief. At last, a command I didn't break. And although we have had some people say yes, they're gangsters in the Cape Flats, and that's been a bit of a sobering point that you're speaking to someone who admits he's been a killer. But then you say, have you ever hated someone? Yes. Well, Jesus said to hate someone is like committing murder in your heart. And this sobers people. You're getting people to think about their conscience. So you're bypassing the intellectual objections, well, what about, and so on. Mm. And so the Way of the Master teaches one a very good way of dealing with the different objections and different personality types by going straight for the conscience. Mm. And so Way of the Master or Living Waters is a very good training program. EE, very good training program. I think they're the two best out there. Mm. And when we get good training, and it's not difficult, we can send you the links. There's a lot. A person can go on the frontlinemissionsa.org website and go to our video gallery and actually benefit from training programs we've done during our Great Commission courses or Biblical Worldview seminars and be able to watch training programs and get links. And then we've got a whole lot of free material on evangelism on the William Carey Bible Institute. And you can go on there. It's designed for restricted access areas, persecuted churches, homes, educators, and so on. But it's completely free, and you can go and you can get links to some of the best websites, best audios, lectures, books, manuals, PowerPoints. I mean, there's no excuse for a person not to get good training. So if you've got an EE or Wear the Master training program going on in a church or school near you, great, go to it. If you don't, well, maybe you should think about hosting one in your home fellowship or for your Bible study group. And you can get the material on the William Carey Bible Institute website and download and share and show. And this, if you can either get the training or join the training or help give the training to others, this is what is needed, because the more training people have, the less fear there'll be. And when a person has a message to give, they've got good tools, meaning good literature in their hands and good conversation starters, they'll have the confidence to get involved in these outreaches. And then we need to organize a team. So friends, family, neighbors, congregation, community, and you're fortunate if there's a group in your area that's already organized one that you can join. Mm. You could contact us and we might put you in contact with people who are already going involved. And if not, well, we can send you the material and guidance to help you to start on yourself, even if it's just a home Bible study fellowship with three of you. I mean, yeah. You don't need a lot of numbers to get started.
No, definitely not. And we have a lot of good resources. And so when you have the message and you know how to speak to someone's conscience and you know how to communicate the need of a savior, because that's what we want to share. But you are afraid of how people will respond. So you do have the great message, but you're afraid of what people think of you. How can you overcome that? And even also if you're afraid of not being able to answer some tricky questions that they might ask, how can we overcome that?
Well, that does take time. I know as a brand new Christian, when I was converted, I didn't know much about anything and I couldn't answer many questions, but I knew I could hand out tracts. And so handing out lots and lots of gospel literature, and you go to a traffic light, you go to the, and of course, you wait till the cars have stopped. Then you go down the line and distribute tracts to the people. If you've got a smile, it helps people to roll down the window and be willing to receive it, and you offer it out so they can see what you're offering quite clearly, that they can see you're not trying to sell something, it's free and so on. So traffic lights, railway stations, bus stations, taxi ranks, you always get lots of people there, and I've always been able to distribute lots of material. Now, the young family, small Paul and his family, who draw people to Christ using art, they often go to home affairs where there's always a long queue outside. And, you know, government departments, people wait sometimes for hours outside. And you just work your way through, down the line, you've got a captive audience. We've gone sometimes when there was people queuing for a film like Star Wars or something. We get tracks designed specially for it, and we're going down the line giving tracks, and people aren't going to give up their place in the queue. Mm. They're there. And we've gone to hospitals, and they're in the waiting room. These people are waiting sometimes all day. Certainly they're waiting for hours in many cases. And you give them something to read, they're grateful. And so there are many places we can go and do outreaches. Before Christmas, we had a good friend donate a whole lot of beautiful, fluffy animal toys. Mm-hmm. And we went to a children's hospital nearby. Mm-hmm. And we went, and all these poor children are going to be in hospital over Christmas. I mean, that's not a nice thought. Mm-hmm. And we asked for permission to go and give some free toys to the children. Boy, were they happy. We were distributing these beautiful, fluffy animals with gospel booklets and children appropriate colouring in books and so on. And there was just such a lot of joy and enthusiasm. Who doesn't want a gift? Yeah. And so we've got the greatest gift that we're offering. So if we can just be creative in how to do it, there's always a way. And, for example, in this last Women's Day outreaches, one of our people, Delinda, organized through some friends at school, teachers, to get their classes to write cards, personalized cards, to give to women on Women's Day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who doesn't want to receive a beautiful, unique, handmade card, words of encouragement? Mm-hmm. And so there are creative ways of doing it. And the better the preparation and thought that goes into it, and the more we pray ahead of time, the more we'll be confident. But I learned to preach and to answer questions just by getting busy with what I could do. So hand out lots of tracks, occasionally get in a conversation, person asks you a question. If you don't know the answer, you say, I'm going to have to do some research on that and get back to you. Maybe take the contact details, and then I'd do more research or ask someone who had been a Christian for longer than I had, which was not long, in that sense, and then get back to them. And so you don't have to have all the answers, but you've got to know where to get them. And if you get their contact details, you can get back to answer their question. And, of course, it's always good to get contact details to follow them up. Mm. When we go into the streets, we hope that we'll get to pray with some people and maybe even lead them to the Lord. And so it's always good to have at least one Bible or New Testament and Psalms, like the Gideon's Bibles, which are Psalms and Proverbs as well, which is a bare minimum. And so if you have the opportunity to pray with people, it's so good that you can pull out. So one needs to give to them so they leave with a Bible or at least a New Testament Psalms. And so you shouldn't take your Bible into the streets and doing evangelism. You should take a Bible and New Testament you can use and then give to the person that you prayed with. So again, you may say, well, where do I get all this literature from? Well, there's a ministry called Literature of Africa that provides free Bibles, New Testaments, gospel booklets in many languages and lots of tracts and Sunday school material. So if you contact Literature for Africa, you will find a lot of good resources. That's assuming you're based in Cape Town. If not, you can ask and Literature for Africa can give you context of who's in your area or the closest to you that you could access material. And if you're really in some remote place like Mongolia, there's a whole lot of our tracts that we've uploaded onto our website that you can download. And so there's a lot of great resources that you can get electronically. I know hard copies the best in many ways. But if you're in a very inaccessible area, don't despair. If you've got the connectivity to hear this program, you have the connectivity to download a whole lot of the resources too.
Yeah, and we have great resources. And so when you realize that you should not fear not knowing the answer, but rather say, I can go and research, then that also relieves a big burden from a lot of people. But then how do you start approaching people? And especially when people seem like a bit close, especially now with wearing masks, you can't always smile and so on. What is a good way to approach people without closing them down towards you?
Well, so during our recent Women's Day Outreaches, we walk around. Okay, those who walk around with a balloon, super easy to approach a child or parents with children offering a balloon. Fair enough. Otherwise, we're walking up and we are offering literature and we offer saying, did you get one of these? Or may I offer you something to read? And it's always nice if you've got the time, if as depends how fast the people are coming past you. Are you at a railway station or walking on the promenade where the people are coming in slow movement? You can say, good afternoon, good morning, happy Women's Day in this latest case. May I offer you something to read? And with a nice approach, and again, we mustn't be too backward and shy and hiding in a corner, expecting people to walk across the street to come to us to get the literature. We've got to walk to where they are without blocking their path, but put out your hand and your arm so that they don't have to deviate to get it. They just have to take it. So you make it very easy and always try and have it it's the cover facing upwards. So they can see, and if you've got good material and it's attractive cover, interesting question on a cover or picture, they're more likely to take it. So, for example, when there's been big events in Cape Town, in the Cape Town Stadium, we had Lady Gaga there, concert. We designed a tract, Going Gaga, with a picture of this musician, for want of a better word, on the cover, and we walked around, we distributed 10,000 copies of Going Gaga to the 50,000 people who are pouring in there, and people are actually very happy to receive it. And it gave interesting information that you didn't know, but it went into the gospel. And then Justin Bieber came along. Are you a true believer? Because they call themselves believers. So we had, you know, again, a picture of Justin Bieber with this questionnaire. And so it's a track specifically designed for the event. The Jehovah's Witnesses hired out the same soccer stadium for a big event. And we went there and we were handing out tracks specifically designed for that too. And we did a track especially for Jehovah's Witnesses. It actually looked like a Jehovah's Witness type of track. Handing out to them and got into a lot of conversations. When the ANC did a political rally there, we went out and we were handing out tracks on the world's greatest revolutionary. And it's got pictures of Marx, Lenin, Engels, Stalin, and Mao on the cover, and people are taking these. And, of course, it points out that these were failures. The real revolutionary as Jesus Christ. He had a revolution of love. He didn't come to destroy lives. He didn't come to blow people up. In fact, he came to redeem and regenerate. But it's got about the revolution Jesus brought about in lives and society and transformed people. So I designed that track specially for reaching communists. And we've just found different tracks designed for occasions. So just like we've just done now where we have Women's Dance, so we've organized tracks like Stop the Traffic, the Christian Liberation of Women, and Women Need Protection, Respect tracks. And these have made that easier. So when you're approaching people, I think offering something, and of course the better designed the material is, the more attractive it is, the more likely people are to take it. And that's why for the shopping malls, we chose to have them printed on gloss because you know, you might get a lot cheaper using Bookwove and so on, but that you might use for mass distribution at taxi ranks or at bus stations. But in a shopping mall, you need a high quality. And so the gloss, well presented, and if possible, even color. But one needs sponsorship for that because printing can be expensive. It's cost effective when you buy in thousands. But and it's well worth it. I would say radio and literature are two of the most cost-effective ways of evangelizing. And if you've got good material, and that also brings up the point we should be dressed well. People shouldn't think that you're coming to beg from them or something like that. You can't look like a hobo. And unfortunately, some Christians do. But we mustn't go out in outreaches and T-shirts and shorts and slip-slops and scruffy and unshaven and, you know, looking like you might be down your luck and you're trying to give a hard luck story and get some money out of these people. We're trying to give gifts. So we dress up. We dress smart. We will. We don't want to be dressed so smart that they think we're salesmen, but we don't want to be dressed so sloppily that they think that we might be beggars or just hawkers. So I think the way you dress and groom yourself is important. And I found few people generally refusing me. I suppose when they see a grey-haired person coming, approaching and offering them literature, they realize, well, you can't possibly be coming out here to try and, you know, things like that. So it does help how you're dressed. And of course, when women are dressed in skirts and dresses and look are smart, it just shows. Now, when you're also part of a team, that helps. If you're one person out there, well, God blesses the faithful. But when there's a team and there's some banners and there's some posters or there's a display table around, people can see it's part of a movement, it's part of a campaign, and that creates more interest too. So much so that during our last Women's Day outreaches, we were at the traffic lights at the Cape Town National Conference Centre entrance to Waterfront, Burton Cross Street, very busy intersection. And a TV crew was passing by and they did a loop and they came back. And they pulled out the cameras and started filming us, and they asked if they could interview us. You know, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And so next thing we knew that we had News Desk Africa interviewing us about this. And this wasn't scheduled. So it just shows that when we take initiative, it can expand so much more. And next thing, our message was getting to people that we could never have reached any other way. But when you have a nicely dressed team, a well-coordinated team, and good literature, I think it can also enhance the prestige so that people can see, well, this is strange. You know, we're not used to seeing well-dressed people and older people and respectable people at traffic lights handing out things. What's the purpose? What's the message? Why are they doing this? And so even that, it creates curiosity.
Yeah, it's a wonderful way that God blesses just simple commandments that we are obeying. And so what are some good ways to be spiritually prepared for evangelism?
The people we win on the streets, we first win on our knees. We have to have prayer preparation. So obviously, knowing what the scripture teaches, being motivated about evangelism and the Great Commission is foundational. But then we've got to be built up spiritually. So realistically, you don't go out to war without preparation. And we are told we're in a spiritual war. And Satan has blinded the eyes of many people, and many people out there are deceived and trapped and enslaved by sinful habits and addictions and bondages. And we're going into a broken world, into a world that's in many senses enemy-occupied territory that needs freedom and liberation through Christ. So putting on the full armor of God, we need the belt of truth. We need the breastplate of righteousness. We need the helmet of salvation. We must be saved. I mean, the atonement of Christ must be protecting us. We need the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And all these parts put on with prayer, praying always with all supplication, prayer in the Spirit. So Ephesians 6 gives us the essential preparation for getting onto the streets. We need to go out there with the armor of God, because make no mistake, there will be the odd person, not as many as you may think. There will be some negatives, and there will be some people who are derogatory. There will be some people who are very rude, actually, too. I mean, I've had people, you know, shouting at me, "Stop wasting my time." All I've done is say, "Good morning, may I offer you something to read?" And so, but actually, it's not that often. Times than not, people will accept or they may ignore you, but you don't get hostility that much. But if we do, there's a blessing for being abused for the Lord, and what a privilege to suffer for Christ. And it's small compared to what Christians in persecuted countries have to put up with. So we shouldn't let that bother us. But we do need to warn people. You will get some opposition and you will get some negative responses. But so what? It's worthwhile. Mm-hmm. And the more seed we sow, the more we will harvest. And yes, some seed will fall on hard ground, and some will fall on rocky ground, and some will fall on thorny ground, but some will fall on good soil where there'll be a response. And the more gospel that you distribute, and the more people you witness to, and the more people you engage with and seek to answer their questions and pray with them, then the more harvest we will see. So we mustn't be gullible to assume that every single person we approach is going to end up kneeling on the side of the street and giving their lives to the Lord. That's unrealistic. But we must recognize the fact that, yes, the Lord warned us. There's the rocky ground, there's the hard ground, there's the thorny ground, but there's the good soil. And as we get out there, we should be thrilled to be able to engage. And so what? If I have to hand out 5,000 tracts to lead one person to the Lord, it's worthwhile. I don't know if people know how many bullets are fired in a war and how many bombs are dropped in a war. And it's staggering just how much wastage there is in wars. But they think it's worthwhile for destruction. We should be willing to make sacrifices for regeneration. So, yes, as we get out there and we minister the gospel to the people, some people will respond well, and that will that will make it all worthwhile. And then there's other times when you don't even know what the response is, because some sow and others reap, and some water. And some of you might have heard the testimony of this Mr. Jenner in Sydney, in George Street in Sydney. For something like 40 years, this old sailor would get onto the street and would share the gospel with people. He'd walk up in the street, and he, for over 40 years, never knew of one person who came to the Lord through him. But it so happened, but he went out daily and he gave gospel to people's hands and said, "Excuse me, sir or madam, if you were to die today, do you know if you go to heaven or not?" And he would challenge people with eternity, and he'd put a gospel literature in their hands. Well, it so happened that somebody at a Keswick convention met a pastor who had been converted by this man. And as he gave this testimony, several other people in the congregation said, "That happened to me too. I met this man on the street then, and when I was in Sydney, Australia, in George Street," and it carried on. And this chap starts, and as he shared testimony, more people said, "Yes, that happened to me too. That's how I came through." And finally, they went to meet this man, Mr. Jen, on George Street, and he's an old man, very, with me, is too weak even to go on the street anymore. And he wept. He said, "I never knew of one person who'd come to the Lord for all these years." And I mean, that's the thing. It's an extraordinary testimony. You can get it from Living Waters. It's on the Way the Master or Living Waters a website. Incredible testimony. They've got a video documentary on it, because how the story unfolded. And that's the thing. God may not let us know how many people are benefiting, but if we sow the seed, God's word never returns void.
Yeah, and that's so important, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to and to the scriptures, to know what's the commandments, know what is God commanding us to obey. We don't know how God is using that. What is some scriptural commandments and some passages we can take for evangelism?
Yes, so evangelism is quite clearly, it's a responsibility to proclaim the good news of salvation to people with a view to them being converted to Christ and to be incorporated into his church. And we've got all the commands, the last command of Christ, should be our first concern. You shall preach the gospel to all creatures. Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, teaching obedience to all things that I've commanded you. You will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. So we start where we are, our Jerusalem, where we live and work. And in Judea, a similar culture, same language, but geographically a bit further away. Samaria, different culture, different religion, not too far away, uttermost part of the earth. And so we are called to witness. We're called to make disciples. We're called to be sent, even as Jesus was sent. Mm. We are called to preach the message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Mm. And we're told, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Mm. And faith comes with hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there's so much in the Bible that commands us to witness and to teach and to share and to proclaim. And this is our purpose. So the only foundation for evangelism is the foundation of prayer. And the only authority we rely on is the word of God. Mm. It's not what I think or what I believe or what I've experienced. It's what the word of God says. Mm. And so your testimony may have a role, but your testimony better point people to Jesus and draw them to the word of God, because they aren't saved by any human agency. There's nothing I can do to save anyone, but I can point them to the one who saves. Mm. And so the foundation is prayer. The authority is the word of God. The power trusted in is the power of the Holy Spirit. Not my gifts of persuasion or eloquence anything else that I may have, or techniques or strategies. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who regenerates people. Mm. Faith comes from God. It's a gift of God so that no one can boast. Mm. And the only Savior we proclaim is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not proclaiming a denomination. We're not seeking people to join an organization or a denomination. We're not telling people to have faith in baptism or the Lord's Supper or raising their hand or confirmation or anything like that. Those may be tools that can be used to point us to means of grace, but in and of themselves, there's not a church or a preacher on the planet that saves anyone. Mm-hmm. Salvation is by the grace of God alone. It's received by faith alone. Salvation is on the basis of Christ's atonement, his death on the cross, his blood atonement. He died for us, the just in the place of the unjust. And only authority is Scripture, sola scriptura. And soli deo gloria, all the great glory must go to God alone. So when we have that clearly in mind, that there's that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except by him. He's the only way. He's the only hope. He's the only Savior. And as a result, people outside of Christ are lost and hopeless and helpless. And it should give us a sense of urgency and of importance to recognize that, okay, I can't do everything, but I can do something. Mm. And like a person saying, when a person found all these starfish washed up on the beach and the tide was going out, and he was picking them up and throwing them into the ocean, and someone said, well, you can't possibly get them all back in the ocean. He says, well, I can get this one in, and I can get that one in. And so the point is, we've got to focus on what we can do. Mm. And we've got to trust God for what we cannot do.
Mm. Yeah, that's such an encouraging example of the starfish. I can get this one in. And so we should be faithful with God does give us to do. What about if people come and feel discouraged because it is hard to enter the kingdom of heaven? People feel discouraged when they see, well, just people really wanting to believe, but they don't want to leave behind what they have, or they don't want to be going all the way. And you are wanting to encourage people and say, no, but I really want you to be saved, so now I'm going to say this person is saved. How do we keep that from happening, false gospel from coming in?
There's a lot of falsehood, and we cannot get our guidance of how to evangelize from Wikipedia or from Google or from the internet or from the televangelists or from popular preachers. That's not the source. It's got to be back to the Bible. So let's be sure that we are being true to the scriptures. Like the Bereans, in Acts 17, verse 11, the Bereans were more noble in arrest because they searched the scriptures diligently with readiness of mind to see if the things that the apostle Paul taught were true. So they were comparing what the apostle said with the word of God. They want to see, well, scripture interprets scripture, and scripture's authority. And we mustn't be gullible. We must be noble. We must be steadfast like the Bereans. We've got to receive the truth with readiness of mind and study the scriptures. So the key thing is, that we must be proclaiming what the Bible teaches. Mm-hmm. And that means we need some training. We need training in the Word of God. We've got to know what we believe, why we believe it, and how to communicate it to people, and how to answer it when people challenge. So, for example, I've written a book, Answering Skeptics, 14 questions that people ask us in the streets. Now, these are things I've found after years of working on the streets and door-to-door, and people will ask these sort of questions. Well, how can a good God allow evil? Mm-hmm. And why does God not stop all the suffering? But aren't all religions the same? Mm-hmm. And well, what proof do you have that the Bible is the word of God? Or how do you know there's a God? How can a loving God condemn anyone to hell? Mm-hmm. And how do you know that Jesus is alive today? And how do you know that Jesus is the Messiah? And is the doctrine of Trinity really taught in the Bible? And, well, what about the Inquisition? What about the Crusades? And what about all the hypocrites? And isn't Christianity just a crutch for the weak? And so these are some questions that I've found coming up again and again in the field. And so I've got some battle-tested, proven, condensed answers that you can give to people on that. So Answering Skeptics, it's available as a book and as an ebook, and we've got audio on the sermon audio on a Frontline Mission SA.org website where I tackle these and you can actually get answers on how to deal with these very common objections. And Evangelism Explosion takes one further into even more of the possible things people can come up with or how to explain different doctrines. EE is probably the most comprehensive training in evangelism, and that may take a long time, but the best thing is to get started. Mm-hmm. And as I got started, hand out tracks, and then I showed the Jesus film, cranked up 16 mil projector and generator, and showed these all over the place, even in terrorist bases across the border in Mozambique and in Angola and all the way up to Sudan and battlefronts. And so I've used film evangelism. And I remember at the beginning, I count myself really blessed when I could preach a whole 1 minute, because to introduce the film and to conclude the film was always a challenge. But I grew in confidence in sharing the gospel by practice. And that it's like the first time that you've got to run around the block and you just can barely make it and you end up walking most of the way. But if you do it each day, you'll find after a while you can run the whole way, and after a while you can do it without losing breath. And now you can run around several blocks, and you can run around several fields. Mm-hmm. You can climb mountains. It doesn't come in a immediately. It takes time. But mm-hmm. just as our muscles are stretched, our faith is stretched, mm-hmm. and so our mind can be stretched mm-hmm. as well. And so it's, of course, that's why we run Great Commission courses and mm-hmm. biblical worldview summits, to stretch people's minds, muscles, and their abilities to understand these issues. We need to increase our stamina, including our mental stamina, mm-hmm. to be able to understand the issue. So don't get discouraged. Read, get into courses, go through these materials. If you can't join a group easily, we'll join a group online, go through the Great Commission course training programs that's either on audio or video on the web and the PowerPoints if that helps you. And articles, get the books if you can, and get together with some others, even if it's just one or two others in regular group that you're going to, let's do training together. Let's do the Evangelism Explosion training or the Way the Master training. And a lot of these resources are freely available online that you can get started with. Hell's Best Kept Secrets, very motivational. Mm. A video to watch, The Big Question or The Biggest Question by Todd Friel, outstanding, motivational, to show people 10 ways you don't get saved. And so we need Call for Discernment to understand the false gospels out there. So the main thing is we have a command, we have a commission, we've got a reason to live, a message to give, something worth singing about and sacrificing for. But we just need to get started and we need encouragement. So get networked, find others who are like-minded, write to us if we can help you, and we can maybe put you in touch with people nearby that we know of that you can form a group and you can start to get the training and get onto the street. And the best way to learn is to get out there and do it. And whenever you come across something you don't know how to answer, you go back and you do your research. Yeah. Or write to us and we'll put you in touch with the right direction and where you can find the material.
Yeah. And just to be clear, where can we find resources like Answering Skeptics?
Right, so you go on frontlinemissionsa.org website. So it's www.frontlinemissionsa.org. So there you'll get links to everything, the videos, the audios, the PowerPoints, the books, the categories. Christian Liberty Books publishes it. Some of these are also available as ebooks, many of them like Answering Skeptics. And if you want to get the reports on what we did during the Women's Day Outreaches and other missions in the wall, go on to the christianaction.org.za website, christianaction.org.za website. And if you want to write to us, it's mission@frontline.org.za or mission@frontline.org.za, as the Americans would say. Mm. And you can ask us any of these questions. We'll gladly point you in the right direction.
Wonderful. It's wonderful books as well. I would like to close with the verses from John 3, verse 16 to 18. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And may this encourage us to do that, to go out in deed and evangelize, share the word, this greatest gift that we can ever receive. Have a good day and God bless.